Well, the trials are done, but there are still plenty unanswered questions for every NRL team on the eve of 2022. Myself and Reese are back once again to digest how your team went in the trials and see what the biggest holes are for each roster on the eve of the season. This is the League Scene's recap of the 2022 NRL trials. Welcome everyone to the League Scene's look at the NRL trials, where we'll analyse every game from the trial match that's just gone by and see what the biggest question mark is over your team. Joining me is, as always, is Reece Sullivan. So Reece, thanks for coming on by.
Oh, well, thank you for having me to discuss a bunch of meaningless games, which to the clubs was just a game relatively to their preseason training. But to us fans, gave us all a bunch of hope or despair, depending on which team you support.
Exactly. It's kind of a bit of a pilot for us as well about how the format's going to look for this year. But first of all, Reece, you've got something very exciting to announce to our listeners.
Yes, I do. I have been season two right on the whole webpage, Nothing But League. And I'll be able to hop on. I've already done a season preview for the Melbourne Storm, which garnered. And I'm also going to be able to do weekly season or weekly previews and reviews for the Brisbane Broncos. On top of that, I'll also be having another article this week, which gives my version of a ladder prediction, as well as a little bit as to where I think, why I think every team will end up there. So really looking forward to that.
And it's good that we've got some credibility now here on the League Scene as well.
Yeah, we needed that considering AJ's done absolutely nothing except to build this podcast, which I think he's done a pretty respectable job. So props to him for that.
Thanks very much, mate. And again, if you want to go back and look at our season preview, what we did with Reece, it was a very raw ladder. So what he'll put on the Nothing But League website will be more of an in-depth look with strength of schedule kind of taken into effect.
As well as we're preseason. Go on. Coming into that as well.
Yeah, so we're going to kick off with Friday night's first trial match where Manly took on Canberra. It was an 18-16 win for Canberra, but I think the major headache for Manly not only was the fact that they choked a 16-0 lead, but also the fact that they've lost a lot of they had a lot of injuries come out of this game, most notably Hamale Olakau'atu having that elbow injury that he suffered, and he will be out. Des Hasler describing it as a subluxed of his elbow and is in doubt for some round one action. Marta Taupau and Dylan Walker also suffered some injuries, but Hasler is confident that both will be back for round one. I came into this as well with Canberra. Jamal Fogarty has a major injury with his knee and will miss the first half of the season, at least with a injury.
Not first half, first quarter, we'll say.
We'll go first quarter. But a good opportunity for either Sam Williams or Brad Schneider to come into the fold there, do you think? Which one would you lean towards, do you think?
I definitely prefer Schneider. I think Williams showed last season when he had the chance to play halfback that he's very good as a stopgap, but he's not the best as a...
week in, week out?
Yeah, exactly. So if he's going to have to be the week in, week out number seven for this team, out very well. So I would give Schneider a crack. Worst case scenario, you drop him round three, round four. He's out. Best case scenario is he keeps the team on track, keeps them winning games. So I think there's no real risk for the Raiders.
On the Manly front, I think we've got a major concern because now we have two of the fastest players in rugby league on the same team.
On the same side
Jason
of the field.
Jason Saab, and Tulatu Kola. That was scary watching them race away.
Yeah, but you have to remember they have to get good service from the halves. Obviously, DCE and Turbo are going to get them really good service, but, you know, there's going to be games where they don't get much ball, and that really impacts their their ability to take over a game. So it's a very mixed bag when you're running with these pieces. Yes, it looks really good when they can get into open space.
100% it is.
If they can't get into open space, usually there's
deficiencies. So 2 watts a concern for...
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry about that. We just had a bit of a disconnect. I think what's a major concern for Manly is two of the free tries came against a run of play. So there's a very big lack of attacking opportunities created. And one of the major concerns I've got is the fact that we're not having those six agains come into play this year from inside your own half. The possession meter is going to be, I think, a lot more congested around that. We're not going to see the 70 to 30s we were seeing at times last year. Mm. So it's going to be really tight. They're going to be tighter games, less blowouts, and I think it's going to be a more even football game.
Oh, it will. It's going to be a very good year, I reckon, because obviously you have these three amazingly built sides. You know, four if you want to include Parramatta. They can go out and legitimately beat any team they're up against. Yeah. But then you've also got six, seven, maybe even eight sides.
Yeah,
you could be playing finals this year. So it should be a really competitive season.
It should be. But again, it just depends on a few incidences as well. So the game that brought Tigers fans almost to wanting to buy grand final tickets. They beat the Roosters 16 points to 8 at Central Coast Stadium on Friday night. I think for the Roosters, there's nothing to be disheartened about. When their first stringers were on for the first half, they played really well, despite the fact that James Tarmo tried to take out Sam Walker. That was a very ugly tackle, and the quicker we see those tackles taken out of rugby league, the better. Personally, I was surprised Lindsay Collins didn't get a week for that cannonball tackle. I thought that was a very hit and miss in my view, mate.
Yeah, I think it's weird because, you know, you just had that massive suspension 2 weeks ago.
The Fumeono hip drop.
The Fumeono incident, yeah.
I think the difference is loading, as I was touching on before. Loadings and
but you can
the
also
7 year
argue
discount.
You can also argue the fact that it was also because Collins didn't tear someone's ACL.
Do you think, though, the match review committee would take injury into account, though?
Well, remember, I always go back to the Easter or Good Friday, James Graham charging down or attempting to charge down Adam Reynolds.
Yep.
And taking his knee. And at the time of the match review committee, when they convened, it wasn't clear how bad Reynolds' knee was injured. And they gave Graham 6 weeks. And they basically came in and said that Reynolds' injury was taken into account, even though Reynolds actually only ended up missing 2 games with the injury.
Okay. I just wanted to ask that, that's all, because I think Ragley got free for the one on Albert Kelly last year.
Yep.
From memory.
Plus one from the Pangar one, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he got 5 weeks for the round. No, the Kelly one I'm talking about was the charge down in the second game.
Oh, in the second game, yeah, okay.
When he's going to charge down the field goal.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about the high shot in the first game.
Nah. I was because I remember Radley getting 3 weeks for the charge down.
Yeah. I'm telling you, all right, with the Broncos, I'm happy for Walters to start at 5'8", but we should have Kelly start at 5'8" for our games against the Roosters, just so Radley can get penalties.
I like to think you
have a really big vendetta against that man.
I don't know what it is against it too, but we'll get on to the Broncos later. Tigers have a big blow or not, depending on how much you like Jacob Little. He's out for 4 to 6 weeks with a PCL injury after that trial match against the Roosters. So you got to think Tuki Simpkins will start the year at number 9 jumper for the Tigers, considering.
This is probably Simpkins' best chance to lock down that jersey long term. Obviously, he had a couple
chances. Sorry, Jake Simpkin, my bad.
Sorry, Simpkins, yeah. Obviously, he had a couple chances last season, but he didn't really get an extended run of games in the number 9 jersey.
No, he didn't. Because there was always a chopping and changing.
Yeah. So getting the chance to probably start the first month of the season at hooker it's going to be a really big chance for him to cement his position. If he can get a clear link up going with Luke Brook, and, you know, Simpkin, if you talk to the any Tigers fan, they'll tell you that Simpkin's definitely a player with a lot of potential. So I'm sure that if he can lock down that hooker spot, he'll be there long term. It's just a matter of taking advantage and proving to Madge he needs to be there.
Jackson Hastings, I thought, was very solid for the Tigers for the middle of the field. But I'm going to put a massive asterisk next to this because as a Roosters fan, I saw Jackson Hastings impress in the 2016 World Club Challenge. And we all know how that ended for Roosters fans in 2016.
I'm very, very iffy towards Hastings. I think he's going to be a very good player for the Tigers. I think he's going to be a guy who can come in and do better for them than what they had last season. I just don't know if he's the type of player that can get a team from average to good. And definitely not the player that you get a team from good to great, but we'll have to see that.
I thought Oliver Gildart, the Super League signing, also had a really good game. He was always looming around the football, which is a good thing for that link player that Madge is looking for. So I think he's going to have a good year.
Did Joe Burgess ever impress you in preseason?
No, he didn't, actually.
Okay, well, then he's already one step ahead.
I compared him to Dan Sargentson in the preseason podcast. So
yes, he did.
I thought another player to impress me on the Roosters side of the ball was Victor Radley. There was a lot of question marks about how Rads would come back. Obviously, he was suspended for, I think, 10 matches last season. And in the face of the Roosters' injury crisis, it did more harm than good, the aggression he was trying to bring. Solid carries with the footy, made a lot of tackles. I think for a trial game, he did really, really well, Victor. 35 tackles, the most tackles for a Rooster, and the most tackles out of the game. So good signs for the Roosters, and it gets even better with Luke Keary being cleared for round one. So the kind of spine reshuffle we thought would happen hasn't eventuated. So Manu will go back to centre. Keary will move. Here's a question for you. Would you play Keary at half? Keary at 5'8", Walker at half, or just switch it?
I would just keep Keary at 5'8", because they won two premierships with Keary at 5'8".
Okay.
So that'll be my answer.
And then, of course, the Roosters will get much of their forward pack back in. And even Lindsay Collins, who, as we mentioned before, somehow didn't get suspended, which still amuses me.
Yeah, wouldn't that have been a damp night, having to wait till round two to see Lindsay Collins back?
It would have been a damp. I mean, considering what he was, as a Queenslander, Reece, you would have been wanting to see how he came back for State of Origin purposes.
Well, we need him.
Yeah, he was a cornerstone of the Queensland pack from 2022, so I think there's a very good chance he starts for Queensland this season.
We're going way off topic here, but I think Queensland have most of their pack set, like their starting pack.
Yep.
It's just a matter of filling in the back five and then also the bench for the Maroons. So I think the forward pack is going to be their biggest asset. Whether or not they have a better pack than New South Wales, we'll leave that until we see the form.
Just remember to rule Ronaldo Mulatalo out this year.
Okay, sure.
Saturday's games now. Parramatta 36 defeated Penrith nil. Yes, it's a trial game, but I think there are still a lot of red flags in this for Penrith. Yes, they're without Nathan Cleary, but the concern that I have is, should we be having the same discussion that we do with Manly? Is Turbo being out for Manly, is Cleary out for Penrith, is obviously that mix. They did have playing guys like Jerome Luai, Brian or Stephen Crichton, Jerome Luai, Moses Leota, Api Korosau, Billy Yami, Kikia from last year's grand final side. And for me, they just looked scrappy when they had the ball. And things weren't really cohesive. While Parramatta, they just seemed to click everything. Reid Marnie looks like he's come back a better player following shoulder surgery. And I think Parramatta fans now have a point that they would have won last year against Penrith if Reid Marnie played.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Well, I think the big winners from this trial game are the Bulldogs. Because you got the obvious, which is Reid Marnie's going to be a Bulldog next season. And he absolutely played his socks off.
Yeah.
But then the second one is, you're beginning to see
how much Matt Burton was a safety net for the Panthers team last season when Cleary wasn't playing.
Oh, 100%, mate.
So the Bulldogs are looking at that going, we might have something on our hands here. Like, they didn't already know that. But yeah, it's gonna be, in terms of power, they played awesome. I think a player who you didn't give up, so I think deserves flowers for that game, is Dylan Brown. He played insane footy with the ball. And it was what Para fans wanted him to do all of last season.
Well, I think they've shifted him back to his preferred side of the footy field. So Arthur's got to be commended. He's done his homework there.
Yeah,
too.
Last season they did a lot where he was trying to play inside Moses.
Mm-hmm.
This season it seems like they've sort of set him onto one side, Gutherson's on the other side, and Moses will shift around, which really works out better for Brown because he's able to go third man in instead of fourth man in on most plays.
Yep.
And it just gives him that freedom where he's going to get the ball in a position where he wants and make a decision with it.
100%. But I think Sean Russell has won himself that wing spot until Mike Acevo comes back. Considering the poor injury to Hayes Dunster that we touched on earlier last Sunday night against the Dragons. So I think Russell, that's his wing spot to lose. Will Penasini's looking like a really good young talent. Wonga Blake, Para fans have a love-hate relationship with. Especially in defense.
Well, I would take what Wonga Blake did with a grain of salt because he always steps up against the Panthers.
I mean, so, we did that game last year. In 2020 when he upstepped Stephen Crichton. Look what Stephen Crichton's done.
Yeah, exactly.
Since that game.
So I would take it with a grain of salt. Let's see how he goes against the other 14 clubs.
We will see. We will see. Charity Shield time. The Dragons 16 defeated South Sydney 10. The only real shock of the weekend, can be said. But there is a problem for St. George. They do not have a goal kicker. The Dragons were really impressive for mine. They just seem to always do something new and interesting in attack. Whether they did that, I think it was off a scrum play. They did the crossfield kick to Terrell Sloan, which got them downfield. And they got the try a few plays later. Zach Lomax looks like he's come back a better player following last year's injury. And overall, they look like a cohesive unit.
Well, watching the Dragons play, you know, the way they play that Jarrett Shield, I have a very sad smile on my face. Because we're finally seeing Ben Hunt get back to that 2015 form.
100%. Satisfying.
Yeah, we're seeing him get into the game and just use his, you know, creativity and his ability to put the ball on a string wherever it has to go. And he's playing awesome. And it wouldn't surprise me the way he's going if he's going to be Queensland's lock for number 14 this season.
Would not surprise me at all. I want to go to South Sydney. The 6 and the 7. What were your thoughts on Walker and Ilyash?
I really think they don't have much of a choice. You know, it's not ideal. I think ideally they would have wanted Milford in that team just so he could be a bridge and allow Ilyash to develop a little bit more. But obviously circumstances change. That's not going to happen.
We've got a development on that to touch on a little bit later.
Yes, we do. But I think, you know, Ilyash will develop as the season goes on.
He's only in his second game of first grade, to be fair.
Yeah, exactly. He's the type of player who, you know, once he starts getting the footy in his hands, he's going to get better. All right, game by game, even, you know, half by half, he's going to get better.
I mean, we saw signs of that magnificent 2040 when they were under pressure.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's definitely signs.
Yeah, there's signs. The thing is, until that happens where Ilyash can come in and take over a game, take over clutch periods of a game, Walker needs to step up more than he's doing.
And you saw him get frustrated too.
Yeah,
like,
the way Cody Walker played against the Dragons, it almost feels like he's still thinking Adam Reynolds is in number 7. He's going to just control the game and allow Walker to play his natural game.
Yeah.
Walker is going to need to be the guy in control now. And unless he adjusts his game to do that, the Rabbitohs might be in for a very long season. Because it feels to me like it did with Brisbane when they had Milford and Nikarima in the halves, where neither one really wanted to step up and do the hard yards of kicking the ball deep, of trying to
I can hear the pain in your voice.
They both wanted to be finishing it. Yes,
I can hear the pain in your voice.
There is a lot of pain in my voice thinking about those days. I don't want to do it.
But anyway, you have to do it. They do get Latrell Mitchell back for round two, but and he will help a little bit. Blake Taff will probably go back into that utility role in the 14 where he could come on and be an X factor. But I still will go to the grave saying Latrell Mitchell is a better center than he is a fullback. Just because of his explosiveness and the X factor that he can create.
I think we will have a chance to see that with the way Taff has played in the preseason, even though it hasn't been spectacular. You know, it's been solid enough to suggest that he should get a crack at the fullback jersey sometime this year. And if he comes out and has a really good round one, you know, that could change everything.
It does change a few things.
Yeah, exactly. I think I will agree that Latrell Mitchell at center is a damaging prospect. But at the same time, it sort of applies to Greg Inglis, where everyone knows how good of a center Inglis was. All right?
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to deny that. But as good as he was at center, he was just as good at fullback.
I think the difference is, though, GI took those tough carries coming out of trouble. You don't see Latrell do that. And
yeah, but at the same time,
I'm the first to jump on the bandwagon and call the laziness because I've seen that the Roosters for four seasons.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, he's been able, his whole career, first grade so far, he's been able to rely on his wingers to do that. At the Roosters, he had Blake Ferguson, who was able to come in and take those hit off. All right? And Toops as well, yeah. And, that, you know, now at the Rabbitohs, last season, Mansour taking those hit-ups. Dane Gagai taking those hit-ups. So,
100%. You know, there is one other question I want to ask about South Sydney, but to you.
Yep, go ahead.
Is Jackson Paulo the best fin at left centre?
That is a really good question.
From what I've seen across two trials, because he's the only Rabbitoh that is in the frame to be starting that has played both trials, and I've seen nothing spectacular that says, oh, he's going to lock in for that position.
Well, I mean, I'm going to counter it with another question, all right?
Yeah, let's go. I like this.
Is Jackson Paulo playing center more beneficial to the Rabbitohs than Blake Taff playing fullback?
Well, I think there's better options, though, within the club to play at centre. You've got Richie Kenner in the reserves. You've got Terrell Colo-Colo coming through the ranks. Tane Milne, that I rate as better centres just in terms of getting out of yardage and getting to have some creativity in and around the ruck.
I agree with that, but the question I'm asking is, you know, because it's pretty clear that if you're having an issue with centre and if Taff's good enough to play fullback, you just plug Latrell in there.
Yep.
So my question is, you know, if Jackson Paulo is going to provide less impact to the South Sydney Rabbitohs on a weekly basis than Blake Taff would, you'd have to say Taff for fullback, Latrell at left centre.
I think that's the only logical explanation. We know how dangerous Latrell can be on that left edge could be. You throw in a left edge of Cole Matangi, Walker, Latrell and Alex Johnston, that's danger.
It is.
That is super dangerous. And especially the combination Codes and Latrell have managed to create, that spells danger for the rest of the competition.
And Latrell's proven, especially in his last couple of seasons, he's proven he can get those balls to the wingers now.
That cutout ball's special for him.
And now that's not even going to have to be a cutout ball unless you got Taff coming in from behind.
Yeah, that's a good point to make. Okay, now you can have a bit of an essay. Cowboys 26 defeated Broncos 6. Despite a Jordan Ricky try in the first 5 minutes of the game, nothing really special came for for the Broncos in this one. The Cowboys were allowed to dominate proceedings and make Tom Dearden a superstar. What were your takes, first of all, Reese, as a Broncos supporter? And are you concerned ahead of round one?
Okay, so my big takeaway from the game is the forward pack outside of Haas didn't do enough. All right. Obviously, it's what we've seen for the last, what would you say, four seasons?
Since 2019, I'd say.
Yeah, where Haas steps up and does all these big carries and the rest of the forward pack just sort of falls in line. I think Haas got 120 meters alone in the first half. Yeah. All right. Which
12 carries, 125 meters.
Yeah, which you can't allow as an NRL team. That said, I think there's not too much concern for the Broncos. Obviously, no Adam Reynolds in these trials. So he'll come back and he'll direct a lot of the traffic on offense, which we were struggling with, you know, with Walters, Kelly, Gamble, and Ezra Mamm as our halves. All of them can be very exciting in space. Mm-hmm. All of them can be very greedy defenders, but they can't set up plays like Reynolds can. I also think it makes the case for Walters to definitely be the clear-cut number six because, well, first of all, Kelly missed the game because of COVID. So
who else was missing? Sorry. Him, Herbie Farnworth, Reynolds. Was there anyone else notable?
I know we had a bunch missing from our first trial, but I think they might have all come back. I know Ricky, that was his first trial game.
Yeah.
I think we also had Keenan Pelagia missing.
Keenan Pelagia.
And Brandon Piakura.
Pelagia played.
Pelagia played. Okay, Piakura was missing.
Yeah, he needs suspended for the first few rounds, I think, anyway.
Yeah. So once Reynolds comes back, it's going to be a different team.
Oh, Tessie New, sorry, was the other one I was missing.
Tessie New, but he's going to be missing the first few weeks as well. And that bodes into a question now because, you know.
Fullback.
Fullback, yeah. The two trials so far, David Meade did not impress at all at fullback.
Mm-hmm.
Selwyn Cobbo did not impress at all at fullback. Jermaine Asako did all right at fullback, but he's not really in Kevy's plans at all, especially given he's joining the Dolphins next season anyway.
Yeah. Apart from the begging at fullback. Apart from the begging to play fullback.
Yeah. So it becomes an issue of who plays fullback round one with Tessie New hurt.
I think you've just got to bite the bullet and go with Selwyn Cobbo and trust the process of what's worked at training with having Adam Reynolds as a link would work. Like, I mean, it's round one. You've got nothing to lose. Like we saw in the first half of the game against Parramatta last year, you got out to a 16-0 lead and then put on the gas.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you just got to bite the bullet.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see which direction they go. I think either way, first couple of rounds are going to be teething, given the fact Reynolds hasn't played with this team at all in an actual game setting.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be teething. It's going to be about building connections. I think we won't see the best of the Broncos until about round maybe seven, I reckon.
So the Broncos' first five is Souths, Canterbury, Cowboys, Warriors, Roosters.
Yeah. We had a relatively good start except for the Chooks game, and obviously the Souths game could go either way.
Especially now with Demetriou.
Those three games in between,
Bulldogs, they're winnable.
Cowboys, Warriors, they're definitely winnable. That's where we'll start to see what this Broncos team can do. And then once we start to build that connection, once Reynolds and Haas build that chemistry, Reynolds and Ricky, especially on those edges,
mm-hmm.
And then obviously Reynolds and whoever plays 5-8, which I'm just going to assume is going to be Walters, not just because he's Daddy's son. but I think it works out really well for them. So we'll have to wait and see, obviously.
Kevy's contract extension that was reported by Travis Mayne in the Courier Mail today. Are you a fan of it?
Definitely a fan. I just want everyone to know, everyone who turned around and questioned why Walters was extended and turned around and said that the Broncos are just setting themselves up for giving Walters an early payout.
Should they keep that same
energy when he gets us into the finals race? You know, just be aware that what happened last season, he won two extra games, all right, with a team that was worse than the 2020 team. So I was definitely happy with how Walters coached in 2021. Obviously, his vision for the club is in line with Ben Eichens and with, you know, the new CEOs and all that.
Dave Donaghy.
Dave Donaghy, yep, and the new board as well. So 100%. I think it's the perfect extension, and he's now got 2 years to prove himself as a coach that can get a team to the finals. And if he doesn't, then we can move him on, bring a coach in that can win straight away. We'll have the team that can win. And if he does, then it looks like an absolute masterstroke.
It does. And I think a lot of criticism, of course, of that re-signing. But overall, I think Brisbane are looking big picture rather than short picture.
100%. And that's what they've been doing ever since Paul White decided to leave.
Yep.
So it's a rebuild, not a win now.
100%. All right, so Sunday's match saw Melbourne 24 defeat Newcastle 10. Good signs for both sides. Of course, Newcastle were missing a large chunk of their pack. The Saifidi brothers were both not playing and really just trying to finalise the squad for round one, while Melbourne are trying to put the pieces together as far as the way that they'll line up, of course, with no Cameron Munster and a few other players. But now Brandon Smith will play round one against the Tigers, having his suspension overturned.
Which really screws up the preview I did in Nothing But League, because I literally turned around and said, with Brandon Smith and Harry Grant out for round one, Tyrone Wishart will get his chance to make his debut at hooker.
He'll play. He'll be the 14. He'll be the 14.
He'll be the 14 for sure. But yeah, well, I will say I did praise Tyrone Wishart, and he came out and had a really good game on Sunday. So
yeah, he did.
Obviously, I have an eye for talent.
You do. Cooper Johns, however, won't be part of the festivities. Being ruled out, of course, having that shoulder injury with a grade 3 AC joint. He's out for 4 to 6 weeks. So, as I was touching on, of course, praising Jackson Hastings in the 2016 World Club Challenge, his Haas partner, Jaden Nikarima, will partner Jerome Hughes on round one.
Lord have mercy.
I mean, I've seen both of them play. I mean, it's good to see Jaden Nikarima turning his life around. Of course, got a drugs bust at the Roosters, got the arse, rebuilt his career at Redcliffe and the Warriors, went down to Melbourne with a train and trial contract, and
now he's starting round one.
Good on him. I don't have a problem with the kid.
Yeah.
He's just got, very unlucky.
I will say, though, all right, with all the contract dramas Cody's having with the Warriors, you know, trying to get a release to go stay in Australia, I'm very surprised he hasn't spoken to Jaden about how to get out of a bad contract early.
I will touch on the Warriors later, but with Dylan Walker's announcement today, would Cody just stay at Redcliffe and play for the Dolphins next year?
Definitely wouldn't surprise me. He has a really good relationship with Wayne Bennett.
I'd go for it.
Yeah, I mean, the Dolphins currently don't have a halfback, so they do need one of those.
Oh, no, they've got that. They've got the 18-year-old from Penrith.
Okay, sorry, let me correct myself. The Dolphins currently don't have an NRL halfback.
Ryan Pappenhausen continues to be a talking point for Melbourne. There is some doubt around his health for round one. So Nick Meaney is proving to be the first option for Craig Bellamy. And could this be the career renaissance Nick Meaney needs? Of course, struggling at the Knights. He didn't look out of place at Canterbury. It was probably one of their better performers last year, and that's saying something with everyone they brought in. But do you see this being one of those signings that proves to be a Bellamy masterstroke?
Well, I mean, it's just Bellamy in a nutshell, isn't it? You know, he loves to grab these players who've been cast away by their clubs and turn them into great players, like, you know, Dale Finucan, for example. You know, you got some really good years out of Todd Lowry, of all players. Jason Riles as well came down for a year and did solid.
There was some busts, though. We had George Rose, Tom Wheeler Lars.
But there's a difference between players who want to come down and revive their careers and players who want to come down for a paycheck, and that's what Tom Wheeler Lars was.
100%.
Yeah, but look, full credit to Nick Meaney. You know, he's a player who's just, no matter, he's a cockroach, I call him. Because no matter how many times he gets dropped from an NRL side, he always finds his way to bounce back into first grade.
Yeah, 100%. Sharks 30 defeated Canterbury. Actually, no, we didn't touch on Newcastle. I forgot about Newcastle.
Don't worry, not the
poor Newcastle. I mean, everyone's got a tip for the wooden spoon anyway, so it's probably fair we forgot them. Are you concerned at all from what we saw? Obviously, their spine is intact now, finally. Kurt Mann is 13 at a lock position. Are you a fan of having the smaller body act as that link?
I just feel sorry for Kurt Mann. It feels like every preseason he's being told he has to train for a different position. You know, but look, if it works, it works. I think Kurt Mann's the type of player that can sort of play, you know, he's definitely the type of player that can fill in a lock. Even though he doesn't have as much size as some other locks do, he does have some solid defense. Not spectacular, but solid. And he also has the ball-playing ability to be that sort of extra half, a la what we saw last year from, what's his face? Connor Watson.
Yeah. And that was the big concern we had over Newcastle, was how they would replace Connor.
Yeah. Well, he's definitely not Connor Watson, but he fills that same role.
Exactly. Okay, now we can move on after that. Sharks 30 defeated Canterbury 6. And because this is a special game, we have our very first recipient of the LOL Cow of the Week. Now, this award is very special and dear to Reese and I's heart. It goes to someone that is pretty special, does unique stuff, that gets himself in very stupid situations. And this week's inaugural recipient is Tevita Pangai Jr. So congratulations, Tevita.
Very prestigious, Tevita, to win the preseason award, you know, in the games when no one should care too much. Yeah, that's very spectacular, and it definitely isn't an omen for how the Bulldog season is going to go.
So, Long Cow of the Week goes to Tevita Pangai Jr. So, first of all, he chose to try and put a shot on Royce Hunt, which is what a forward should do. So, he actually starts off this thing pretty good, and then proceeds to go boxing and beat the shit out of him.
I wouldn't say beat the shit out of him. He threw two air swings.
He threw two air swings, gets binned for 10, and tops it off by swearing at a referee, which he should have got a fine for anyway, because we can't condone that. And the fact that we've seen so many incidences of people swearing at referees either get a fine or something, it is just ludicrous. Because what's that teaching our young kids?
That you can get away with anything if you pay money.
Exactly. And it just saddens me in this environment that this has happened. For Canterbury, there is some good news. Matt Burton looked all right. But my big question, who in the world partners him in the halves?
That is a very, very good question, because they don't have an out-and-out 5'8". Like, their best 5'8 is Averillo. And he's a center.
I mean, I got asked this question on Twitter the other day about possibly someone like a Drew Hutchison going over, and I said yes, because what Hutch did with Sam Walker last year was admirable. I'm not going to sit here and say that Hutch is the best 5'8 to ever play rugby league, but what he is, he's a calming older face that's been around the game now. He made his debut in, what, 2015, I think, from memory?
Yeah, he's a veteran.
He's been around for years and could just bring that guiding hand for a young half trying to make his mark in first grade. And that's what Matt Burton is at the moment. I think pairing him with a younger half, like a Biondiodo, like an Averillo, like a Wakeham, like a Kyle Flanagan, is only going to set him up to fail.
Yeah. Speaking of Flanagan, wouldn't it be a massive knock on him if he gets dropped in favor of a guy who was his understudy?
I mean, let's be real. Canterbury now have, what, two New South Wales Cup teams? So the question mark is it going to be Mounties or will it be Canterbury? That's going to be a question mark for mine.
I'm sure if they don't put him in the main New South Wales Cup team, which we all know is going to be Canterbury, I'm sure Shane Flanagan will give him a call.
Now, hang on a moment. Now that Flano's head of recruitment at St. George, we expect the announcement to come next week. We expect the announcement to come soon that he's going to join St. George.
Oh, Ben Hunt, Carl Flanagan, halves combination. Here we go.
I want to cringe hearing that.
Here we go. Well, we'll call up Sean, because this is how Flanagan becomes a superstar.
Oh, I'm sorry. That is my favorite moment of doing these podcasts that I've ever experienced. Besides the OG format, where one slip of the tongue happened.
Yeah.
he died again. But, okay, moving on. One player that impressed me from Cronulla was Nico Hines. Now, it does come with an asterisk that he wasn't playing with his halves partner that will be for round one, as Braden Trindle is suspended for 2 weeks for a high shot in their last trial against Penrith. But I thought Nico Hines was really good in controlling, took the ball to the line, has a good combination with Britton Nakora, which we saw for the try in the first half. Franklin Pele was another one that impressed me. And if the commentators find the link between Pele and Ronaldo, I expect Vossi to segue soccer. he'll bring up something about the World Cup in a game, I guarantee it.
I'm just waiting for him to bring up the Russian-Ukrainian war.
Oh, hang on, no. Brandy nearly did that in the Charity Shield.
Yes, that's true. I don't know if you saw it yesterday, but in Channel 9 on the news, they were talking about all the floods in Lismore.
Yeah.
And the reporter turned around and said the SES has been flooded by calls.
Oh, my God.
Like, you can't think of a better word to use?
Yeah, it's called a bitter irony.
Yeah, definitely.
But for Canterbury, did anyone really impress you across the board?
Outside of Burton? Not really. I think Adokar looked very, very meh. And that's not just because he wasn't getting much ball. He just wasn't getting involved as much as you'd expect a player on that much money to be.
9 carries for 52 metres was Josh.
Yeah, and that's someone you expect to be getting the ball every... Like, with money he's on for a winger, you expect him to be getting the ball every set coming out the line, and then when you're coming into attack, you go out his side, you put the kick up towards him, which the Bulldogs just weren't doing. So maybe they're not using him right, but at the same time, he has to be going and getting the ball more.
Yeah, I thought the props for Canterbury were good, Luke Thompson and Paul Vaughan. The challenge for Luke Thompson is he gets suspended. He's like, I compare him to Victor in a lot of ways because he gets suspended a lot. And for a player, I consider Luke Thompson a marquee buy. It's just not a good situation to be in, I think, mate.
Yeah, I agree.
Paul Vaughan, he was impressive in his first game back after hosting the barbecue. Rumour has it there's one in Belmore tonight. And they're going to play a game of hide and seek with Jack Heverington as the seeker. across the board, Dale Finucane, I thought, was impressive. And shock horror to Roosters fans, Matty Kavalu did not drop a bomb.
Shocking.
It was very shocking. Okay, the game that didn't get played was between the Warriors and the Titans due to the Queensland floods, of course, now that is turning into a massive flooding event across the east coast of Australia. First, it was Queensland. Now it's filtering down to New South Wales and into the western parts of Sydney where we're broadcasting from. We're okay. We're on high ground in South Penrith and Glenmore Park. But to the guys up at Richmond, they've got flood warnings in place at the time of recording. So our thoughts are with them at the moment.
Hope everyone listening here stays safe. You know, if you're listening to this and your parents are screaming at you that they need to evacuate, you can turn the podcast off, right? Your safety is more important than our listens.
100%. Anyway, if you just click off and click back on, it counts as an extra listen. So,
oh, exactly. AJ's out here stat padding already. we're not even into the regular season yet, and AJ's still trying to get his stats up.
I'm just doing a LeBron James out here. So for the Warriors, as we were discussing earlier, Dylan Walker's been signed for this year. Sorry, for next year. But across the board, I was really looking forward to seeing how Sean Johnson returns to the lineup. Of course, now he's been gone for, how many years has it been? 3 years?
Yeah, 3 seasons with the Sharkies.
And I wanted to see the Titans' new spine. Because as we discussed in our preseason podcast, that was one point of conjecture that had me kind of holding back in the prediction. So, yeah. Anything else you wanted to add there, mate?
All I'll say is, you know, who partners Australian halves? Is it going to be Nick Arima or is it going to be Harris Tavita?
I'd go, and this is really an interesting one for me, I'd go Nick Kerima. And when Reece Walsh comes back, I'd play Chanel as a 14 with Jazz Tavanga playing that lock and potentially middle forward. Oh, sorry. He comes back around one now. My apologies. Yeah. So I'd play...
This is the Latrell Mitchell rule, we'll call it.
Oh, yeah. That's the new name for the suspension policy. We're calling it the Latrell Mitchell rule. You heard it first on the league scene. So I'd play Nick Kerima at six with SJ because I think they've played test matches together. I may or may be wrong on that.
No, I think you're right. I'll just double check quickly. I think you are right, though.
You can tell we're playing this podcast late when I don't have the research in front of me.
I'm just pulling it up. There we go. Rugby League Project. Shout out to Rugby League Project. Shout out to Fergo.
That, they're our lifesavers on this.
They are. Yep, they've been the starting combination for, it looks like, 3, maybe 5. Let me just double check.
Yep.
3 tests it is. 3 tests.
Three together. Tests. So there have been some halves combinations together. So I think I'd go with that early on. And then if that doesn't work, obviously you can filter in there. But also Ash Taylor comes into the consideration as well. We can't forget about Ash.
Well, it seems like the world's forgotten about Ash Taylor when they really shouldn't have because he is a talented player.
Again, the thing that hurt Ash was the fact that they paid him $1 million a season.
Yeah.
And the expectation that comes with that, I think, is bullshit. And I think felt super sorry for him.
Yeah, and I think another thing was the fact that he came out his first full season. Obviously, he had that game with Brisbane in 2015, but his first full season in first grade in 2016, he played so well, you know, with, I think it was 22 try assists that season.
Got tied into the finals for the first time in six years.
And then after that, you know, even though he was still a solid player, he wasn't putting up those same numbers.
And that's what everyone compares him.
He wasn't meeting the expectations people set on him because of that insane rookie season.
Yeah, and it sucks. But I expect big things from the Titans this year overall, and we'll see how that goes. But the exciting thing is we are now officially just over a week away from rugby league returning, which is very exciting. And we're expecting a big year here on the league scene. And we hope you like the format changes. To round things out, what's your bold prediction heading into round one, my friend?
Well, hold on. Let me pull up the games for round one. I want to make sure I'm doing this right. All right? I want to make sure.
I love the fact that we're going to the level of depth here on the show.
Yeah, 100%. You know, we're the most organized podcast in rugby league. All right? The bloke in the bar has nothing on us. All right? I'll take down the beak any day of the week. But...
I'm mates with people that are friends with Kempy. We just could end up very badly.
He's a good bloke. I'm obviously the Broncos fan. I'm still very happy with how he performed in that one game against the Eels in 2008. So
nothing against him.
But my bold prediction, and this might surprise a few people. My bold prediction is the Cowboys beat the Bulldogs and they do it relatively comfortably.
You're not convinced at all by what you saw from the Bulldogs?
Not at all. I think it's still going to take them, sort of similar to the Broncos, it's going to take them a couple games to really gel around Burton, especially with a new halves combination as well. And I think this is the Cowboys' chance for an onslaught. Given how they played against Brisbane, they have no issues getting their attack going.
100%. Okay, mine. Melbourne lose round one for the first time in the Bellamy era.
That is massive. I thought about that, but I didn't want to go with it because obviously Bellamy. But
no Munster, no Grant, no Chris Lewis, potentially no Pappenhausen. And it comes with the asterisks. It's against the Tigers.
Yeah, it's possible, but I don't know.
Exactly.
I'm not willing to go there. I'm not willing to put my head on the line for that one. That's for sure.
Well, I am. So that's the way we're gonna wrap up the first episode of the league scene in this format. Thanks very much for joining us. If you have any questions about the format or any feedback whatsoever, please let me know via my social media. I'm under AJ Luke Antonio on both Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So drop me a message and I'll be happy to respond to any feedback. But until next week, thanks, Ray Sullivan, for coming on the program.
Yeah, too easy. Thank you. And I will also give a massive shout out to Nothing But League. Both myself and my fellow co-writers, we write awesome articles on there. So if you want to go there, give some of them a read, go ahead. I would definitely recommend it.
Exactly right. So check out Nothing But League. Of course, that wraps up the league scenes. Look at the trials. Thanks for coming. And we'll see you for our round one recap in just over a fortnight. Take care, everyone.